The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled. See, in trouble.
Welcome again, water lovers in the Berkshires and around the world. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Oh. Two O's in H2O. H2OO is maybe that's how we've been treating it in the past. And how we're going to be treating it in the future is going to take away one of those O's. So it'll be back to H2O. Right now it's H2OO.
In the abundance of water.
I'm your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. Leslie is my name. It's good to be with you today. We're also going to be with Robert Heinzman of SaveTheHoosatonic.com, a newly fangled group. And Robert's going to be talking about bioremediation. What is bioremediation? Is kombucha bioremediation because it has live stuff? Maybe that's the future of our water, our studying of water, our hydromorphology, as they would call it, the study of how water works. And we're going to be having a conversation about that a little bit later in the show, so stay tuned for that. We're also going to have some more excitement, and we are here at 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield Community Radio. Yes, it's true. Pittsfield has a water show. You heard. And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We've got a little music coming your way. We're going to start off with something really good that probably most of you know, and this is for a shout out to our organizational friend of show, a shout out to our friends over at Tanglewood, Tanglewood Music Institute. Here's a little bit of George Frederick Handel, Rock and Roll of That Day. You're listening to And Show It Flows. Oops. Your only show for H2O. I pressed the wrong button. This is live. I love live. We're going to turn that down for a second. Love that live, but we got another song to play. It's our friend Frederick Handel, George Frederick Handel, to be sure. And a shout out to our friends at Tanglewood for this one. We'll be right back.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. The lake, it is said, never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. The ship was the pride of the American side, coming back from some mill in Wisconsin. As the big freighters go, it was bigger than most, with a crew and good captain well seasoned. Concluding some terms with a couple of steel firms when they left fully loaded for Cleveland. Then later that night when the ship's bell rang, could it be the north wind they'd been feeling? The wind and the wires made a tattletale sound, and the wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. The dawn came late and the breakfast had to wait when the gales of November came slashing. When afternoon came, it was freezing rain in the face of a hurricane west wind. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you. 7 p.m. a main hatchway gave in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know you. The captain wired in, he had water coming in, and the good ship and crew was in peril. Later that night, when his lights went out of sight, came the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they'd put 15 more miles behind her. They might have split up or they might have capsized. They may have broke deep and took water. All that remains is the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. Lake Huron rolls, Superior sings in the rooms of her ice water mansion. Old Michigan steams like a young man's dreams. The islands and bays are for sportsmen. And farther below, Lake Ontario takes in what Lake Erie can send her. The iron boats go, as the mariners all know, with the gales of November remembered. Musty old hall in Detroit they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. The legend lives on from the Chippewa on down of the big lake they call Gitche-Gumee. Superior, they said, never gives up her dead when the gales of November come early.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. This podcast keeps you wet. It does. It does. Especially if you take cold plunges, keeps you wet. If you like to take a shower, keeps you wet. If you like to perspire in the hot, muggy days of August, it keeps you wet. So it's all about the wetness, my friend. So stay wet. My friends, stay wet. You're listening to And So It Flows. Super psyched to be with you. I am your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. We're here at WTBR 89.7, WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, bringing you the water waves via the airwaves and the intertubes. Never forget the intertubes. You were listening to The Wreck of Edmund Fitzgerald. Played that because, you know, right now we're looking at all this post-industrialism and And this may have been one of the first big wrecks of the post-industrial era, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. What's really cool about that is with the loss of the entire crew of 29 men, when they launched in June 7th of 1958, she was the largest ship on America's Great Lakes and remains to have largest to have sunk there. They were for 17 years carrying taconite. Is that taconite? T-A-C-O-N-I-T-E. Sounds like a good night, taconite. However, with all the loss, one of the best things about the great ship is Captain Peter Pulser was known for piping music day and night over the ship's intercom while passing through the St. Clair and Detroit rivers. And her size, record-breaking performance, and DJ captain endeared the Edmund Fitzgerald to boat watchers. So a little bit on Edmund Fitzgerald. And we started actually our show, just so you know, with a little bit of water music, a little shout out to our friends down in Lenox, Massachusetts, and bringing on all that classical stuff at Tanglewood and other kinds of stuff at Tanglewood. So shout out to them. Today on our show, we're going to have a really great guest. We're going to be talking about another river that runs through our area. Yeah, we're talking about the Housatonic and a little bit about bioremediation and what that means and what it could mean for our region and beyond. And bioremediation, I guess you would look at it like it's kind of like kombucha's bioremediation. It is. It's like those active bacteria. So in this particular case, bioremediation may just mean using life to beget life. Yes, that's an option that's on the table right now. And we'll be talking with Robert Heinzman a little bit about that in about, 20 minutes or so. So stay on tune for that. We got a little bit of water news coming your way. And this is actually coming from Billboard. Ludacris continues on his water quest to become the most hydrated person on Earth. Well, okay. How much purified water can one guy drink? Ludacris plans on finding out. He is on a water quest going viral for drinking water, still water from a glacier in Alaska. The rapper and actor was in town to perform at the Alaska State Fair, but he had to make sure to do some sightseeing while he was there. Ludacris posted a video of himself drinking water from Knik or Nick Glacier, K-N-I-K Glacier, 50 miles east of Anchorage. Many fans pointed out, however, that drinking water from a glacier isn't the best of ideas. You know, you never know what rappers are going to do, but, you know, like, hey, he's bringing some attention to water, and that's really important. Luckily, the Atlanta rapper didn't get sick and gave everyone a health update a few days later. For everybody asking me how that glacier water really tasted, he said, "When I tell y'all," that's in quotes, "I am a water snob. It's the best tasting water I've ever had in my life. And as I drank it, I felt like every cell in my human body was being hydrated and rejuvenated at the same darn time. Listen, man, I'm here. I feel like Superman." And that's from Billboard talking about Ludacris going into the whole water, wants to be the most hydrated person on Earth. I plan on reaching out to him and see if we could have him on this amazing, amazing show for water, bringing in the water consciousness from the world of the Berkshires to the world of where you are. A little bit more music coming your way. What do we got up next? We got a little bit of, it's kind of like a good working class beach tune. Really love it. Good old Rockaway Beach by the Ramones.
Sunny side, and I want some. It's not hard, not hard to read. man that I'd like to be. What does he care if the world's got troubles? What does he care if the land ain't free? Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant cotton, and damn that planter, is soon forgotten. But old man river, he just keeps rolling along. You and me, we sweat and strain, body all aching and wrecked with pain. Tote that barge, lift that bale, get a little drunk, and your land's in jail. I get weary and sick of trying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying. But old man river, he just keeps rolling on. Let me go away from the Mississippi. Let me go away from the white man boss. Show me that stream called the River Jordan. That's the old stream that I longed to cross.
Old Man River, that old man river, he must know something, but don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling.
Body all aching and wrecked with pain. Tote that barge and lift that bale. We gets a little drunk and we lands in jail.
I get weary and sick of crying. I'm tired of living and scared of dying.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, Little Old Man River by Paul Ropes. In just a couple of minutes, we are going to have our guest, Robert Heinzman. He's here from Save the Housatonic. He's going to be talking about bio, that's life, remediation, life begetting life. Amazing. Imagine that. Moving forward from digging a hole to dig another hole, to put cement on top. I think that's going to be a great conversation with Robert in just a couple of seconds, or, you know, a little more, probably more like, let's say, I would say about 100, no more. Okay, 60 times 5, 300 seconds. That's about how long? Again, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We're going to finish up this set. The good old bit of Proud Mary. This whole little section is all about the working worlds of the work that gets done in the world of work and and being in life and having fun and working hard. A little bit of Proud Mary, Tina Turner. Here she goes.
Every now and then, I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing. You see, we never, ever do nothing. Nice, easy. Day. We always do it. Nice and rough. But we're going to take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're going to do the finish. Rough.
Proud Mary.
It's the way we do. Proud Mary. And we're rolling. Rolling. Rolling on the river. Listen to the story. Left a good job
down in the city.
Working for the man
every night and day.
And I never lost 1 minute of sleep.
And I was worried about the way that things might have been.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. That was a little bit of Tina Turner, Rolling on the River with Proud Mary. And just before that, we had Old Man River from Paul Robeson. And to start off the set, started with the Ramones. The Ramones from Rockaway Beach. And a little bit from Gandhi. Today happens to be Gandhi Jayanti, and national holiday currently in India. It just started there at 12.01 a.m. India Standard Time. So they are celebrating on October 2nd to honor the birth of Mahatma Gandhi, who was the father of India. The holiday is called Gandhi Jayanti Day. So out of that, here's a little quote from him. Next to air and water, salt is perhaps the greatest necessity of life, highlighting the importance of salt as a basic human need and the injustice of the British salt tax, which heavily impacted the poorest Indians. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. We're here also in studio from a previously recorded interview, but in the studio nonetheless, we got Robert Heinzman. He's going to be talking a little bit about bioremediation. He's from Lee. He's working with a group called Save the Housatonic.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your super waterman, ambassador for water. We're here at WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, and So It Flows brings you water consciousness and water culture straight from the Berkshires to all around the world on your favorite podcast platform. And we're here today with Robert Heinzman, and it's so good to actually have you here, Robert. Robert, tell people, our water-loving listeners around the world, who you are. And what brings you to the water subject matter?
Thank you for having me on the show, for starters. And the reason that I'm excited to be here is because I care a lot about water quality. I have a background in it. I have a background in environmental geochemistry, to be technical for a second, cleaning up water contamination issues associated with all kinds of industrial activities. And as a long-term resident of Lee, Massachusetts, I'm specifically focusing that skill set on cleaning up the Housatonic River.
Lee, Massachusetts is right on the Housatonic River, right?
Yeah, the river runs right through town.
Right through it. And so for those of you who may not have been paid over the last, 60, 70 years, Lee, Massachusetts, and the Housatonic River in itself has been impacted by what I call industrial chemical experimentation and dumping. And then by who? What happened? What was the Housatonic River backstory?
Well, the backstory really is the human story around our relationship to water. And the backstory goes all the way back to the end of the French Indian Wars, when suddenly the dam of colonists in the Pioneer Valley flooded into the Berkshires. Why? Because the Berkshires has elevation, has falling water. Falling water means energy. So a number of mills were established early on. In fact, the earliest paper mills in the country, some of the earliest paper was standing on the river, and that river, the waste from those industrial activities, tanneries, wool processing, and paper mills, went straight into the river. So the Housatonic has a long history of being a way of transporting waste out to Long Island Sound. Into that history stepped General Electric with their industrial plant in Pittsfield, where they had a very lucrative business in creating electrical transformers. The coolant for electrical transformers, because they, you know, there's electricity running through them. They have a little, you know, you've seen them on the telephone poles with the fins on them, the cooling fins. If you look at one, you'll see that same, they're all like tend to be that industrial green color. Those cooling fins are the cooling fluid in it is a chemical. It's an oil called PCBs. And so they were dealing in millions of pounds of PCBs in Pittsfield, manufactured by Monsanto, sold to General Electric, and in the process, a lot of it spilled. And a lot of it was illegally buried, dumped. And in that process, a lot of it leaked into the river.
Wow.
So it was. I just want to make this point. It was negligence. It was the consciousness of the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, where, you know, the solution to pollution is dilution. Just let it go out to the sea. And also, there's, I think it's fair to say that there was some, what today we would call criminal behavior, even though at the time it wasn't illegal.
Gotcha. So, Robert, you've been a resident of Lee now for 28 years. What got you interested in this subject matter yourself? Like, what is your background around this? Like, how, like you were mentioning prior to the show a little bit about that.
Well, my background is in, I'm a fly fisherman. I'm a river guide. I've been a whitewater river guide for years and years and years, since I was a kid, really, high school, you know.
Cool.
And growing up in Colorado. And I also have technical training in ground and surface water chemical pollution. And so here I am, the river's a couple hundred yards that way. I'm living in Lee. There's this mess that needs to be cleaned up. And I started reading the documents, started getting involved in the conversation in the community. And I realized that I had a perspective on this that may help contribute to a better cleanup process to get the PCBs out of the river and make the river hasten the river along its journey to become cleaner and cleaner.
You've been a parent, or you have, you know, somewhere in that area. It kind of reminds me of, like, even a 5-year-old knows how to clean up their room.
Yeah, right. Time out. Theoretically. Okay, keep going.
By theory, you know, obviously.
Definitely. Big theory with the teenager. Bigger than a 5-year-old, but keep going.
So, in essence, cleaning up messes is part of the transition of humanity.
Yes.
I think, personally, for folks to be able to say, I made a mess, I'm going to clean it up.
That's the accountable behavior, yes. And I think that the world is increasingly waking up to the fact that forever chemicals, of which PCB is one, like PFOS.
It's like the OG of forever chemicals. Everybody is used to PFAS and all this other stuff, but no, PCBs is like the OG.
Yeah, well, the reason PCBs were a great substance to be a coolant in the transformers is they're extremely stable. They don't break down very easily. So they're forever chemicals in that sense. They're the same kind of species, even though they're different chemistry as PFAS, etc. But the storyline. We've spread this stuff all over the planet. So this is the big biochemistry experience since the World War II industrial innovations around about a suite of about 20 chemicals, mostly derived from petroleum, that are the foundation for all kinds of organophosphates, pesticides, herbicides, industrial chemicals. And we're now realizing that while we were happy with the profit motive that created for companies and the way that it enhanced our industrial lifestyle, the conveniences of that, we're finding out that a lot of that stuff is just downright dangerous. And now we have to change our game.
Yeah. So you're with a group called Save the Housatonic, is that correct?
Well, there's a website called SaveTheHousatonic.com. Okay. It's created by the town of Lee. I sit on a committee, a PCB advisory committee to the town of Lee. I am part of a group of people and we all have different perspectives, so it's a real diverse set of worldviews that advise the select board on navigating the fact that the river's not only running through town and going to be cleaned up through town, but this is essentially a dredge and dump operation in about 1.3 million cubic yards of contaminated sediment is going to be removed from the river and put in a landfill in our town.
Yeah.
Not a popular thing.
No, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think so, especially after some of the rebirth that Lee has been going through. For those of you who are just joining us, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, bringing the water consciousness to the world from the lovely Berkshires, Pittsfield Community Radio, to be exact, available on most of your podcast platforms. And bottom line is we are with Robert Heinzman. Robert is both sits on a board of advisory for the town of Lee. He's a avid fly fisherman. He's been involved in rivers and other things. And he's you're expressing what? You're saying there's got to be a better way to do the cleanup. Is that it?
Okay, so the whole back and forth, this is a CERCLA Superfund. CERCLA is the law, federal law. It's a Superfund operation, right? So basically, EPA has said to GE, you will clean this up according to our specifications, or we're going to pay somebody else to do it, and we're going to charge you 3x. That's what Superfund does. So it's a pretty weighty tool for the federal government. GE now has negotiated with EPA with some community input on a cleanup remedy. It's called the permit or the remedy. In 2020, this was signed. This is what we're going to do. We're going to spend $600 million estimated. And we're going to clean this mess up to the best that we can. And there will be real remediation. It will help clean up the river. But the challenge is that the technology that they're using is their thinking, their bibliography, if you will, their scientific research is all based in old tech. Old tech is 6 to 8 years old because the world is changing so fast right now. It's so fast. So there is a new way of approaching this using basically creating an army of microorganisms that do what? That love to eat PCB molecules. It's called bioremediation. Bacteria, literally, bacteria that go in and they see a PCB molecule and they say, wow, lunch. And they eat it, wow. And they destroy it, and they destroy it, and they create a daughter product that is inert stuff like CO2 and water, and it's pretty inert. So this is, now we have this new technologies that have come online. New companies are just being formed in the last year, commercial applications to do industrial level mitigation of PCBs. And the reason this is important is because there's PCB contamination all over the planet. Everybody has PCB in their blood. Polar bears have PCB in their bloods. It's dangerous. So the bioremediation offers a low cost, highly effective way of just getting rid of it.
So it's like using life to clean up life.
Yeah, exactly.
Bioremediation. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, here's the mind-blowing thing. By weight, there are more bacteria by weight than there are human beings on the planet. Half of our, you know, you've heard the story, right? Half of our third of our body mass is microorganisms in our gut and our skin and all this stuff. Bacteria are extremely prolific and efficient. And there are species, the native species, they're already around, that you can, if you greet them in concentrations, like you grow them in a big stainless steel vat, and you apply them to the sediments that are contaminated, they can reduce significantly the PCB concentrations. They won't get rid of all of it, but they can get rid of a lot of it. And the big challenge right now with the dump, the upland disposal facility, the UDF, is that, I mean, it's big. It's like a big hill that it's going into an old quarry that's up on the side of October Mountain, is that it's just going to be, it's like a time capsule. It's going to be completely enveloped and wrapped in plastic. So it won't leak very easily, and you'll just have PCBs in there for perpetuity. The argument we're making now is, why not put the sediments in there and treat them with bioremediation, significantly reducing the toxicity of the material in the dump? So it's safer in perpetuity. That's wow. The argument we're making right now. And EPA is moving in this direction. They're slow, they're plodding, but I'm also part of a committee to evaluate different technologies, an EPA committee to evaluate different technologies, so we can actually deploy an army of billions of microorganisms to go after.
Whoa. It's like kombucha for PCBs.
This is exactly right.
It's great. Yeah, you never know what actually will work until you know the data, see That's some right. of the data, and since PCBs were essentially or this relationship to water that we've had that is something like, put it in the water, we won't see it, it'll be all fine.
The solution to pollution is dilution.
It's not the source of life, it's something else, it's just kind of a dumpster. And this opportunity to say life begets life, and that's pretty powerful. And the power of... imagine what would be possible to listeners out there, to yourself, to the village of, to the town of Lee. What would be possible if the city that was essential in helping build, the Berkshires, have a new lease on life, kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch? And wouldn't it be better that if we move to actual earth technologies that allow for life to heal itself with some input.
That's right.
That it gets beyond digging a hole to dig another hole to put cement on it and forget about it until it leaks again.
The big myth of our industrial civilization is in one word, away. That pollution and contaminants, that there's an away. That there's a place that it all goes where we'll never deal with it again. That is fun. The cycle of life. The fact is that rain is, sucked up into the clouds. It rains back down. The cycle of water, the cycle of carbon, the cycle of nitrogen, the cycle of all the nutrients, the cycle of life means that there is no way. It comes back to us. Now, here's an interesting little story, because Monsanto manufactured this crap, right? Because it was extremely lucrative, and they were selling it to GE, was one of their biggest customers. And then they went, oh crap, because they found out in a Louisiana bayou that the shellfish had PCBs in it, and they went, oh, this stuff doesn't distribute and migrate out into the ocean. It didn't wash down the river to the ocean.
It stays.
About PCBs are very sticky. And they glom on to muck, and they basically glue themselves on. So most of the PCBs in the river are behind the old mill dams, and they're all within Berkshire County.
Wow.
And so Monsanto said, oh crap, the solution to pollution is not dilution. This stuff is still concentrated, and that's when a whole, this is back in the early 70s, that's when a whole set of activities was set into motion that led to the current day, 50 years later, for GE to have to clean up its mess.
Yeah, it's time. And not only that, get it, it's not here to, kick GE anymore. And anyone from General Electric who wants to talk about the systems that they have to clean up this mess are more than welcome to reach out to andsoitflows@gmail.com. And get yourself on the show.
Can I speak to that real quick? There's a lot of vilification in the communities around the Berkshires of GE as the evil profit, the profiteering.
Kind of understandable.
But the people in GE right now, this problem sits on the books in GE Aerospace. They're interested in rockets. They're interested in factories in space, right? They're interested in low gravity tourism. I don't know what they're doing, but they're interested. This is three generations ago.
This is their bungee cord that keeps them from being successful.
Right, but it's three generations ago. they want to solve this as well. So we have to assume that there are good people there that want to clean this up. They're operating in their best interest of themselves and their organization and their organizational culture, and they are bringing really good solutions to the table. So is EPA. So we have to stop seeing this as a bunch of enemies. We have to see this as a human problem.
Yeah.
That we all have to contribute to cleaning up.
Yeah, we're all stakeholders in this. You know, it's like collaboration. And I get that. For those of you who are just joining, we're finishing up an interview, a really great interview with Robert Heinzman, who's a consultant for the town of Lee, sitting on one of their committees regarding the cleanup of the PCBs, brought to us by General Electric and good old Monsanto, the maker of Roundup. And I'm not doing an ad here. I'm also saying, hey, listen, we got to all look at what kind of stuff we're using, because the stuff we're using has an impact. On top of that, your committee is looking at bioremediation, ways of cleaning up without digging a hole to dig another hole to put cement on top. And tell people how they could participate in this growing participatory movement around cleaning up one of the most incredible rivers in the United States.
Yeah, it is a beautiful river, and I love it, and I want it to be cleaner and safer. The way that people can participate in this is, first of all, if they're in the area, they can plug into the town meetings. They can also go to the website, SaveTheHoosedonic.com. And there's information there. You can sign up for the newsletter and you can get on the email list. So you can basically get into the, you know, the information highway around all of this and what the town is trying to do to fight the dump. That's plan A. And plan B is, because there's a lot that makes it very difficult because it's federal law and it's already been determined by the courts that this is not going to stop, then to optimize the way in which this cleanup occurs, because it is not currently optimized. They're not bringing the best toolkit they can to this.
And that's where you're talking, bioremediation.
Yeah, but to their credit, they're open to the conversation. So this isn't, we're not just screaming at a wall right now. This is, everybody is looking at this as an opportunity to do this better and right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, bottom line is it's important that people move forward ahead as a team, because that's actually going to assist in actually this stuff around bioremediation. It sounds amazing. It would be extraordinary if the whole community and the whole world learns more about this earth level technology. And
yeah.
In the meantime, what do you see as a future for, if everything goes according to the vision of they're going to buy into this bioremediation?
Your video cut out. You have to repeat that.
Okay, what are you going to see as a future if everything goes according?
Oh, okay. Well, the future is that this particular project can be a hallmark. It can be an event horizon for the effective cleanup of forever chemicals that are currently running around the environment and exposing animals and human beings to unnecessary levels of toxic contamination. If we do this right, we can demonstrate that, hey world, it's possible to do this differently than just put a concrete lid on it. This is particularly important because PCBs, okay, there's two reasons that there's the two main reasons that you get health advisory not to eat the fish. The first one is mercury, which we've all heard about. The second most common one is PCBs. They're that prevalent in the environment. So we have to clean them up. And if we can demonstrate that there's better ways of doing it by bringing in new tools that are fresh out of the labs from the best universities, then, you know, by all means, let's demonstrate what's possible. Because if we can demonstrate what's possible, the rest of the world can't go back from that.
That's great. That's amazing. Robert, again, thank you for being with us here on And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. And you can catch that on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Look for it by searching And So It Flows podcast, and also look for our Spotify playlist of all Water songs called And So It Flows. So check that out. And again, thanks for joining And So It Flows, and enjoy, and let's create a river that people can be proud of.
That's right. Hey, thanks. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay, great, Robert. Thanks again.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. That was Robert Heinzman with a little bit about bioremediation. Can we create the river that's all nice and clean? That's going to be interesting. And then we have a really great poem. This is by Cheryl Martin, Water of Life. The stream flows gently, turning into the turbulence. Healing or killing? You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O, and join us next week as we rock the boat continually for H2O.
Let my city water, sparkling water, lemon, osmosis, carbonated, filtered, distilled, see, in trouble. Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.